Hello there, and you are very welcome to the third episode of my League of Ireland podcast. My name is Jamie Moore. How are you? A slight name change. It's now going to be called League of Ireland Lives. And each week we're going to have different people from the League of Ireland currently, formerly, and maybe even in the future who are going to tell us about their League of Ireland life, about games they've played in across their career, big moments, moves, highs and lows, and so on. So thanks very much again for joining me. We're on SoundCloud for the last couple of weeks, and we're also on Spotify for the first time this week. You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Moore Sport, and also on Instagram at Jamie_Moore1. I've got two feature interviews for you this week. In a few moments' time, we're going to hear from former Shamrock Rovers and Finn Harps striker Sean Boyd. Sean picked up a very serious knee injury while playing for the PFAI camp in a game in December. And he, as he explains here briefly, is doing his rehab at home via FaceTime with his physio and also with some exercises, because of course it's lockdown times at the moment.
I've gone well so far, but now I have to, obviously with the whole lockdown thing, it's been harder. But I've been in touch with Tony through similar calls like this, like Skype. I've been showing him, he's been showing me exercises to do and progress on. I've been doing them in my house. I've been showing him my knee and through my phone.
And also we'll bring you a 30-minute chat with Jamie McGrath, the former UCD, St. Pat's and Dundalk attacker, now playing for St. Mirren in Scotland. His first game, he couldn't play against Rangers at Ibrox due to injury, but he did play at Celtic Park against Celtic in front of just under 60,000 fans, and he will relive that moment with me.
I was mad to get out and see the stadium because I've never been before. And, it was special, so it was. So then you're obviously, all you're thinking about is getting your first touch in the warm-up, and the fans started slowly coming in, and by the time you come out in the tunnel, there's 60,000 fans there. So it's a brilliant feeling.
So that's all of the way over the next 45 to 50 minutes or so on episode 3 of League of Ireland Lives with myself, Jamie Moore. Enjoy, folks, and thanks for tuning in. Jamie McGrath, how are you, sir?
All good, Jay. How are you? How are you getting
on? Not too bad. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm trying to keep myself busy here with my new podcast and some exercises and looking after my nanny in these bizarre times. What about yourself?
Yeah, similar. Just kind of tipping about. I got home I don't know how long it is now. Every day seems like so long ago. So I think I got home on Paddy's Day. So I'm home now for the last, I don't know how long it is, 2 weeks, is it? Just trying to pass the days, like yourself.
So it's a question I've been asking everybody in the last couple of weeks, and I know I've seen on your Instagram and stuff, you've been out in the park or in your garden with a football and trying to keep somewhat fit. How have you been getting on with that?
Yeah, it's not bad, because it's the only really thing you can do. I don't really mind running, because it's kind of the only real thing you can do, bar play Call of Duty or whatever. Like the only thing you can really do is go out and run and play football, so it's not bad.
Have the club given you an actual programme to do?
Yeah, we've been given a programme. We were given it when we were first sent home. So, I've been tipping away at that and doing my extra bit as well, just trying to keep fit. And obviously, when you're midway through a season, your fitness levels are quite decent. So, I don't want to let them slip, but you never know when the league is going to be back. So, I'm just trying to keep ticking over, yeah.
And what sort of stuff is in the programme, and does that make it more difficult given the fact that you can now officially only go 2 kilometres from your house?
Yeah, well, lucky enough, I have a pitch that's only about a 10-minute walk away, so I just head down there. But the programme we were given, it's 4-day plan, but it's going to increase because obviously we didn't know how long we'd be off for, so we're kind of just given things to take over on, but it's not really anything special. It's just a few running drills, few core exercises and stuff like that. So, it's good just to get down to the park and clear the head when you're stuck inside all day, just watching the news, whatever. It can be a bit overwhelming, so it's good to get down and just escape from all that.
And were you able to have any sort of a break after the cup final last year with Dundalk? And you know, there was speculation probably across the winter about a possible move, which eventually happened to St. Mirren officially in January. But were you able to have any sort of rest? Because I know, speaking to Kieran Sadler last week, he was saying when he went back to the UK, he went straight from a full League of Ireland season into a half UK season as such.
Yeah, well, kind of like towards the end of last season, like obviously my contract was coming to an end, and I wasn't sure what the next move was, and yeah, my agent was probably saying not to really take a holiday in case you have to go somewhere. So me and my missus didn't really go anywhere. We couldn't really plan that, and because normally we go on an end of season holiday or whatever. She books time off work and we go, but we couldn't really with the uncertainty. So but yeah, I still got a month or two rest before going into January, and yeah, feeling good now.
So you're only a couple of months into your stint as a St. Mirren player, and you've already had the pleasure and the privilege of playing at Celtic Park against Celtic. There's a great photo of on your Instagram of yourself and Scott Brown. You were also in the squad but injured for an away match against Rangers at Ibrox. So you've had the opportunity to sample the biggest two clubs and the best two stadiums in the country in your first couple of months. So how's it been overall?
Yeah, it's been unreal. So it has just to play in Celtic Park, and obviously I was gutted to miss out on Ibrox. I think that was our first league game when I got there. So it was very good experience. Just to, obviously you love to be on the pitch, but to be in the stand looking in at, I don't know how many was there, 40,000, 50,000. It was very good. But yeah, obviously a bit good not to be down on the pitch beside Stevie G, because he was an idol of mine growing up. Yeah, obviously getting to play at Celtic Park, that was something I'll never forget. Just the whole day was unbelievable. I know we obviously lost 5-0, so the result wasn't the way we wanted it to go, but it was an unbelievable experience playing there. And a few of my friends and family came over, so it was extra special as well. So I've met a few Dundalk fans out there as well, so it was brilliant to meet them again.
Yeah, a rare Jamie McGrath yellow card in that match at Celtic Park as well. You must have been frustrated, given I think you were probably 3-0 down at the time when you picked up your yellow. But like 58,998 was the attendance. I'm sure that has to be the biggest crowd you've ever played in front of. Talk me through that, you know, walking out at Celtic Park. You know, always the players get an opportunity to kind of have a few minutes on the pitch before they get their gear on and actually go and warm up before the match. So from then, maybe arriving on the bus to kick off to the game itself and to maybe being back on the bus afterwards and try and reflect on the experience that it was.
Yeah, just even little things like getting off the bus. It was like you see in the Prem, you know, the barricades up and fans trying to get at you and stuff like that. So it was brilliant from the get-go. Obviously, you get to go out and have a look at the pitch, and I was mad to get out and see the stadium because I've never been before. And it was special, so it was. So then you're obviously, all you're thinking about is getting your first touch in the warm-up, and the fans started slowly coming in, and by the time you come out in the tunnel, there's 60,000 fans there. So it's a brilliant feeling when you first go out there and the fans are there. And we brought a great travelling support as well, so we packed out our end as well. So yeah, they obviously have their singing section over one corner, which I wasn't really aware of was there, and they never stopped going all match, even when they were 4 or 5 up. So yeah, it was a special day. Obviously we didn't get the result we wanted, but I won't forget.
I'd say you've played like maybe 150 League of Ireland games at senior level, possibly more, you know, finals at the Aviva Stadium, massive European games as well. How did they compare and you know, the experience of that game in Celtic Park and, you know, all the build-up fine, but when the whistle actually blows and you're playing at a very, very famous football ground against a very famous football team, especially from an Irish context, in front of 60,000 people?
Yeah, I don't think it was too different, Jay. As soon as the whistle went, it's just like a normal game. And actually, although we lost 5-0, I found it quite easy in possession. I felt like they didn't maybe press as highly as I thought they would. Once we got out of the press, their initial press, that there was, we had a lot of time on the ball. So it was like a typical European match, I suppose. Just a different atmosphere. But yeah, it was something that wasn't overawed by. We obviously lost 5-0, but I was surprised by how much time we got on when we had possession.
interesting there you said about when you play through the first press and stuff, and, you know, a stereotype of some Scottish teams and some English teams, certainly from here in Ireland, is that it's quite a direct route one type game. And, you know, you see the top teams playing great passing football, and maybe other teams in the Championship and League One and League Two and Scotland going a bit more direct. And you're definitely a player who wants to have the ball on the ground. And your clubs in Ireland suggest that that is the case, with UCD, Pats and Dundalk would all be known typically as, you know, passing football teams when, of course, it's on to pass. So St Mirren and you as a number 10 or winger and attacking footballer and that type of style, how have you fitted? And away to Celtic, trying to play from the back is certainly a brave thing to do.
No, that's probably one of the reasons why I've went to St Mirren. I know that the gaffer, Jim, wants to play really good football. So he doesn't do it stupidly, though. At the same time, if it's not on to play, we get up and do what has to be done. But yeah, his intentions were to go out and play football like it is from every match. Keep it tight for the first few minutes. But then once the game opens up, try to build out from the back. So I think the first 20 minutes we probably were 50-50 in possession. We were very good. Create a few half chances and stuff. So yeah, that was an important aspect of going there. I didn't want to go to a team where I wouldn't play or the football wouldn't suit me. So it's a big plus of being there and having a gaffer that likes to play football.
And I know you haven't lived in Scotland for too long, and you're actually back in Ireland at the moment. You know, the majority of footballers who are playing their football away from their home city are back in their home city now. I even saw Pep Guardiola is back with his family in Barcelona at the moment. So from your few weeks in Scotland, from, you know, getting the car over to getting an apartment to, you know, having to cook for yourself every night as opposed to maybe living at home or being near your missus and stuff, how's all that been?
Yeah, it's been really, really, really good, Jay. I thought probably moving over that it'd take me a good while to adapt and to settle in, and first time living away from home and all the responsibilities that come with that. But no, it's been absolutely brilliant so far. It's obviously, I had to find a place when I first went over, so was staying in a hotel for probably best parts of 2-3 weeks. But Connor McCarthy was there in the same hotel with me and stuff, so two of us became quite close very quickly, so that made everything a lot easier. And we end up looking at apartments in the same complex, so we live about 2 minute walk from one of the main shopping centres over there, so we've everything on our doorstep that we need. And it's funny because my dad had been waiting on my car to come over since I got there, and it was only, I think, 3 or 4 days before the coronavirus came out, like, that the league would be cancelled, that my dad came over. He came over for the Hearts game just before the break, so he drove my car over, and now my car's stuck over there. So bad timing, but no, it's been absolutely it's been brilliant now so far. Even little things like cooking for yourself and stuff like that, it's been an enjoyable experience.
What's the McGrath speciality in the kitchen?
Pop over to M&S and get a few ready cooked meals, but especially probably be just pasta and chicken. It's just simple and takes about 10-15 minutes, so that's probably the specialty now at the minute.
Would you not be sick of pasta and chicken, given footballers eat that before every match in the history of football?
Nah, you can mix up the sauce or do something to the chicken. Like, there's lots you can do, Jay.
Very nice.
Put your garlic bread.
And, like, you know, it's the first time that you've lived away, I know. And it's, you know, I think you're, what, 23 now?
23, yeah.
So, you know, when you're making that football choice, you don't really have a choice on where, you know, the city or the type of place you're going to live. Like, if you pick St Mirren for the football, I'm sure you weren't able to then, you know, handpick a lovely city with everything that you wanted as well, because that just doesn't work that way. It's unless you go and play for, you know, Milan or PSG or someone like that. So, like, what's life around away from the football like in the city? You mentioned that, you know, living beside Conor McCarthy, you know, former Cork City player, which is a massive thing to have someone, I'm sure, that you know a little bit anyway, even though you would have been big rivals, Cork and Dundalk, and having him around and just being able to settle in as a person away from football, living in a new city?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be tough. I'm not from a city myself, so I'm kind of from a small town, so moving to a city like Glasgow can be daunting, but it's not. It was fine. Obviously Glasgow, it's a lovely city. Haven't explored it as much as I'd like to yet. without a car and stuff, it makes it difficult. But no, I think having Connor there was a big help, like you said. I didn't really know him before making the move, just from playing against him or whatever. But yeah, we became quite close very quickly. He got a car sorted before me, so I've been chauffeured around by him for the last 2 months. So it's going to be time to repay the bill when I get the car sorted. So, but yeah, we the two of us go in and explore the city whenever we can. We've been quite busy with games. It's kind of been weekend match, weekday match. So we haven't had too much time to go exploring. But no, from first impressions, it seems like a lovely city.
And Jamie, if we roll from, you know, life in Scotland now back to your League of Ireland career, you signed for UCD from Cherry Orchard and you played with the 19s and UCD. I'm not sure if you even played for the UCD first team, did you?
I played one, I think it could have been a Leinster senior match.
Okay, and then yeah. from there, Liam Buckley signed you for Pats and you had a great career at Pats for a couple of years, involved in that season when the FAI Cup was won, even though you weren't in the squad, and, you know, played in Europe. And then you moved to Dundalk and, you know, won leagues and won cups and eventually got your move to Scotland. So how would you reflect on your few years in the greatest league in the world?
Nah, I loved every minute of it, Jay. Still keep up to date with most weekends. Connor actually came around to mine to watch the Rovers Dundalk match. So, yeah, keep up to date with it whenever I can. Obviously, my Twitter is going to be full of it because I know so many people in it. So that's a good thing. I always keep an eye out for it. So, but yeah, it's been a really enjoyable experience. Obviously, starting with UCD. You were there when I first signed. I remember signing there, and I think I spent a year there, and it was brilliant. So it was. You left after I think the first month I was there. So, but yeah, it was a great experience, and then obviously Pats was special. It was brilliant going. Playing for Durrani after winning the league, and some of the players that were there at the time were unreal to train with, and then I was lucky enough to get to play with them, and I got the breakthrough when Liam Buckley gave me the shout, and yeah, it was a really enjoyable time, and we had a really good 19 side there, and a lot have gone on to either play with Pats or play elsewhere, so yeah, so it was really enjoyable years there, and then obviously, I got the move to Dundalk, and that was a special 3 years for me. Winning first league, first proper FAI Cup that you were involved in, and playing for great managers like Stephen Kenny and Vinnie Perth. So it's been three of the best years in football that I've had over there. So all the lads were special and had some special nights there.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, and you mentioned your two managers at Dundalk in Stephen Kenny and then Vinnie Perth in your last season, and Martin Russell would have been the manager at UCD, the first team manager certainly as well, and Liam Buckley at St. Pat's, you know, four top football people in this country, and, you know, the list of things that they've won, but also we spoke earlier about the style of football that they played. You might just speak about, you know, being a young player at UCD, being a young player, you're still a young player now, but at Pat's in a team that had so many top players, but also, you know, a top manager in Liam Buckley and then the time at Dundalk under now the next Ireland senior manager and in a manager of Vinnie Perth who's won the league in his first season as Dundalk boss.
Yeah, I think Martin Russell is the reason why I went to UCD. Logistically wise, it was a lot out of my way to go to the south side of Dublin. But Martin Russell is just such a good coach and such a good footballing brain about him that I thought it'd be the best for my development to go there and play out no matter what. So results weren't really the priority there. It was more so about development. So that's what kind of persuaded me and my dad to go to drive the extra distance. It was during my leaving cert year as well. So it was an extra strain on both me and my father and mother. So it was a learning curve there because like I said, results probably weren't priority. It was more so about playing the right way. So for your development, that was a great year. And then obviously went on to sign for Pats then, and I met up with Liam Buckley, and similar as Martin, just wants to play football and play football the right way, and was really concerned about passages of play and how he wanted to play. He had a really clear way of how he wanted to play. So After spending a few, I think it was a year with the 19s, I was lucky enough to be brought up to the first team. And like you said, there was some top players there. You had many league winners, and it was a group used to winning titles. So it was great as a young player to come in and train with the likes of Ger O'Brien and Chris Forrester, Christy Fagan, Killian Brennan, James Chambers. Was some brilliant players there. So as a young player, it was great to come in. And Liam was lucky enough to give me my chance. I think Christy Fagan got injured, and Liam seen me as a backup striker, so kind of as a false nine. It was actually a role I quite enjoyed. And Liam, being a striker himself, he talked me through it every day and kept me back after training. He was great. As a young player, he was probably one of the best managers you could have, because he was so softly spoken, but also got his point across, and didn't hammer young players for doing that in bad. So he just wanted you to play well. And then, like you said, obviously worked under two great managers then, the Stephen Kenny and Vinnie Pert. Vinnie's only had his first year of management, but he's had some year, and he's got off to a great start this year. So obviously Stephen Kenny is, I don't know where to start with him. He was first 2 years at Dundalk was brilliant. He has a real good way with young players, and you can see that already with the 21s. He's done wonders there. So it's been a great path so far.
Yeah, really interesting answer there. And one of the trends is winning, and you spoke about the winning dressing room at Pats. Like, you become a Pats senior player just after they've won the league in 2013. They then win the cup and they're competing in Europe, and then you move to Dundalk and you win two leagues with Dundalk. You win the FAI Cup with Dundalk. You're in, you know, unbelievable European games with them as well. Like, as a player, you were probably 19, 20 at the time. Like, you're expected to win and compete to win in those matches from a very, very young age, almost as soon as you're out of 19s at top clubs in Pats, and then a couple of years later at Dundalk. How was that, and the expectation of everybody, training, gym, how you live your life, and when you play the matches that you have to win?
Yeah, I think that was more evident in my first year at Dundalk. I remember I think we drew a match early on, and it was nearly like the end of the world. Like, what's going on here, lads? And I was just like, whoa. not used to like this sort of expectancy. That's one thing I found when I first moved to Dundalk in my first year there. We lost a game, and it's nearly like the end of the world. Like, how did we lose that? Or there'd be a post-mortem about it in the dressing room afterwards. So, that was a learning curve now. But you get used to then, you get into that habit of winning games, and even if you're not playing well, you still find a way to win. So that was a great trait to learn at Dundalk, and to be ruthless and not take anything like a draw for good enough. So you went out to win every game. So that was a good trait to learn.
And in terms of Stephen Kenny as well, you spoke about how fantastic he was for you as a young player, and also the 21s and how brilliant they've been. And I can't wait to see his Ireland senior team and their style and that sort of stuff. I do think he's going to be a very, very different type of manager style-wise than Mick McCarthy and, you know, Trapattoni and Steve Staunton and, you know, any other Ireland manager, Martin O'Neill, that's been there in recent years. Like, for you and all the players that he's dealt with at Dundalk and now with Ireland, like, he just seems to give people a license to play and a confidence to play. And that's something that, you know, for a player like you, is probably invaluable.
It is, yeah. No matter what the occasion, no matter if we're playing in Europe or playing wherever, he gives you confidence to go out and play. I remember my first year there, I was probably not afraid to do anything wrong, but I was trying to kind of maybe do it a bit more safe than I was used to doing or whatever. But every week he'd be on my case to try something new. He said, I don't want you playing the ball square or back. He said, this was like a weekly occurrence, and eventually it clicked. And he's like, I'd rather you give the ball away trying something than just doing it simple all the time. He said, I want you to try something. If it doesn't come off, so what? So yeah, that's probably the first dealings I had as a young player with Stephen. He just wanted to be brave and try things on the ball. And
I think that's evident with the 21s as well, and you see the football they're playing, so yeah.
And do you think he'll be the same as Ireland's senior manager in what you said there, you know, expressing, letting players express themselves, and as he said to you, listen, if you lose the ball, I prefer you to lose the ball than play it backwards. Like, is that something he can say in a Euro qualifier that Ireland need to win, for example?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, there does be a lot of tension around the Ireland matches, and sometimes we play the route one ball or whatever. I think he'll encourage us to get the ball down and play, and he'll probably not play more creative players, but get our creative players to be central to everything that happens. So you see with the 21s, you have Danny Mandrew and Conor Ronan. They're quite integral players to the team. I think he looks to try and play through them anytime they can. So I think that's something we can expect when he gets the role.
And there's been lots of stories about different players who Stephen Kenny might pick for the senior team. We've seen Jack Byrne and Graham Burke and others from the league, a couple of your former Dundalk teammates in Horgan and Boyle, who in around their time at top form of Dundalk and moving to Preston were capped for the senior team. Stephen Kenny will pick players from the League of Ireland, I think 100%, and I think he will pick players of your style. I'm sure your ambition, like everybody, Jay, is to play for your country at senior level.
Yeah, 100%. Everybody that plays football it's their dream to one day maybe get a cap, but yeah, I think there will be more focus on maybe picking a few home-based players or players from the league, or maybe more creative players who wouldn't have got a chance under previous managers. But certainly I think you will have a look at the league. There's like you can see there's some unbelievable players in the league that in previous years I think should have warranted a call-up. So hopefully that Stephen will reward some players that do deserve it if the time comes.
And of course, he's not just going to pick someone like you because he used to manage you. You'll need to be playing at a level that's deserving of a call up. But the good thing is that he does know you. He does know how you train. He does know how you behave. He does know how you play. So that has to be a positive, that if he hears or a scout tells him that Jamie's doing great and he comes to watch you, he would kind of know what he's getting.
Yeah, obviously it's no harm that I've spent 2 years under him. He knows the way me and all the Dundalk players work in day out, day out. So, like I said, it is no harm. But yeah, you have to be playing at a very good level when you see some of the players on the list. So, it's something I'm not going to get carried away with at the minute. I'm just looking to settle in over there and make a. Yeah, try my best over there and see what happens from there.
And lastly, Jamie, I wanted to finish on education because it's something that, you know, is becoming more prevalent in footballers now, particularly in this country and with the League of Ireland academies now, and with Brexit possibly meaning that Irish players won't be able to move to England until their 18th birthday. Education and people at least doing a Leaving Cert will become more common now. You did your Leaving Cert and you were also on scholarship in Maynooth through St. Pat's, and that was something that I know was very important to you. And now you're only 23 and you've got a full-time contract in St. Mirren. You've been at Dundalk during European run. You'll hopefully play football for the next 10 or 12 years as a professional. But how important was that education for you, and will it be maybe in the future?
Yeah, I think that rule might not do our boys no harm, stay until they're 18. Obviously, if you have the likes of City or United coming in for you when you're 14, 15, it's different. But for the majority of players, I think that rule is going to do well and work wonders for even the League of Ireland sides as well. So, but yeah, it is very important. It was important to my family as well that I did stay and get the degree. And I was lucky enough to play for Pats and Dundalk and be successful there and win things there. So to do that alongside a college degree, it was a great achievement. So. But yeah, like you said, I think the trend is getting better. You see more players playing football now and still in college, so it's a good trend to see.
And what's your degree in, and what might it lead you to after football if that's something that you want to pursue?
Yeah, I don't agree. A degree in business and management. It's a general enough degree, it covers all aspects of business. So. 3-year degree there. So the reason I picked it was because it is quite broad. I can venture into different things when I get older. And at the time, I wasn't really clear what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be an accountant for say or whatever. So I can lead into any of them fields once I finish. So that's probably the reason why I picked the degree.
Very nice. And Jay, let's finish on the football. St Mirren ninth in the Ladbrokes Premiership in Scotland. Of course, we don't know when the season is going to resume or what's going to happen to it. Celtic are 13 points clear. Rangers now, that race around Christmas time was a lot closer. But the things at the bottom are a little bit tighter. And I know everybody will want the season to finish. So you'll be hopeful in May, June, July, whenever things are back, that you can get back rolling, get a few more minutes with St Mirren and finish that season and make sure the club stay up, because you're just a couple of points above those bottom spots at the moment.
Definitely, yeah. It's very tight right across the league. That's one thing I noticed, that every game is borderline nil all, 1-0. Like, it's a very, very competitive league. And that shows right throughout the table. The match before the break, we played Hearts. Sorry. And if we lost the Hearts, we would have went rock bottom, whereas we won, and now we got pushed up to ninth. So it's very tight down there. Not much between any teams. So, whenever the league gets back going, we want to make sure that we do secure that survival. And I've no doubts that we will.
Great stuff. Well, Jamie McGrath, thanks a million for your time. Enjoy the rest of your time at home, I suppose, even though you can't really do too much. And the best luck for the rest of the season. We'll speak to you soon. Thanks a million, Jay.
Thanks very much, Jay.
Sean Boyd, how are you, sir?
How are you doing, Jamie? All right?
I'm not too bad. Thanks yourself.
Not bad, yeah, not bad. Keep busy.
Now, Sean is here to have a chat with us about trying to rehab a very, very, very serious injury in the middle of a lockdown with no gyms and no football teams to train with and no physios to see after picking up a really bad knee injury playing for the PFAI team in a game on December 11th, which is when the players were trying to get clubbed for January. So, Sean, bring us back to December 11th and even before that, the reason for that game and what happened to you.
So obviously I went in, decided to do, was in touch with the PFAI, decided to do their camp. I thought it would have been great. Obviously I was leaving Rovers after a few years there, so I just thought the PFAI thing would be great, just to see if there was, I had a couple of like clubs onto me and stuff, but I just wanted to wait and see if there was kind of like anything else that I just didn't want to rush anything, so I decided to do it. Went well, I loved it. It was with Derek Pender and Pat Flynn, and it was great, like really enjoyed it. Went over to Finland with, they sent a player here, and with the PFAI sent the player over there. So we went over there for a few days and trained with their camp. It was going great, went well, everything was great. And then came back, they had a game lined up against Rochdale, like their reserves, kind of a bounce game against them. And went over, flew over there that morning, got there all grand, got ready for the match, went out, and like I think it was 8 minutes in, it just landed funny on my knee and heard a crack, and it was sent to the hospital. So that was pretty much the gist of how it happened. I just kind of twisted my knee, and then I was in agony, stuck in a cold, cold dressing room, no ambulance coming, and then eventually the ambulance came, brought me to the hospital, and I had an x-ray and rushed out of the hospital to get the flight home. The flight was that night, so trying to rush to get out and get home. So managed to get home, but then I had an MRI scan the next couple of days. Alan Byrne had sorted that out, I think, through the PFAI, so the results came back and he said it was a complete rupture, ACL.
I remember seeing on Twitter just a few different people, I think a couple of the newspaper journalists were over watching the game in general. Stephen McGuinness and Ollie Call invited a couple of journalists over to do features on players and the trip and stuff. And I remember seeing tweets that you seriously injured your knee and, you know, you don't want to happen to anybody in a game like that with such a serious injury too. How quickly did you know how serious it was? Was it as soon as it happened? Was it when you got to the hospital? Was it when you got the scan?
Nah, straight away, I kind of had it in my head. I think I remember, like, I was crying coming off the pitch, like, on the stretcher. Just, like, the pain of these, but I was just kind of, oh, shit myself. Well, sorry, I was afraid.
It's okay, you can say shit yourself on a podcast.
Yeah, I was afraid. Like, I was in fear, and I was thinking, this is as bad as it is, and just like I'm after doing it, all sorts of my knee, and I was right. So I was just like glad in a way that I had a proper injury, because I was screaming and I was in agony and I was crying. So I would have, like, I made a big deal of it, but it turns out there was a reason.
And, you know, if that happens to you playing for Shamrock Rovers in Talla Stadium or whatever it might be, or on loan at Finn Harps when you were, you know, you're covered by the physios, the doctors, the insurance, you're straight to hospital, all that sort of stuff. But when you're over on a trip and you're in a different country and you're not under contract with anybody and you're with the PFAI straight away, apart from the pain and you know, I suppose the devastation of knowing a lot of your season was going to be over, you're also probably worried about costs and insurance and physio and rehab and all that stuff.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I didn't even have a chance to think of that. The PFAI were like straight on to me, Stephen and Ollie were saying, listen, we'll look after you, we'll get you sorted, like straight away. Like, I honestly, like, couldn't have happened quicker. They were saying, we'll sort you out, you're sorted with us, we're going to do everything. And then after that, it was like constant back and forth of messages with Ollie, and just seeing if I was okay, how everything was going, if I needed, I was in the Beacon a couple of times. They said, if you need anything, we'll cover it, just let us know, just bill it to us. So, like, I can't thank them enough. They were brilliant. They paid for everything, really, and sorted me out big time. So I'm very thankful for the two lads and all the PFAI staff. They were brilliant with me, to be fair, and everyone, the coaches on that camp as well. The Bowers kitman Collie was there. He was actually the one who came to the hospital with me. So he was stuck in the hospital with me for a few hours, came in the ambulance. And Browner obviously was the first one on me. So it was, very good of all of them, to be fair.
Like, that's one of the many reasons I love the League of Ireland, Sean, is that you would have been playing for Rovers against Bows, and Bows and Rovers hate each other. The players, yeah, you know, the fans. I know hate is strong, but you know, in a football context, they don't like each other very much. And I remember you scored a famous goal in Talla a few years previous and stuff. And, like, for that to happen and then for the Bows kitman to be in the ambulance with you and the only person at that stage right beside you kind of looking after you because the rest of the lads were playing the match or looking after the match or whatever, like, that's another great reason why this league is so good, isn't it?
Ah, it's brilliant, yeah. Honestly, it was funny, like, because Dan McDonald, I think, tweeted the picture. He was over there, like you said. He tweeted a picture of me on the ground, and I think one of the Bowles fans would give me a bit of stick because of that. Whatever. Like, it was a few years ago, whatever, but obviously I had celebrated in front of them, and it was like a bit, obviously they're still a bit on air. I don't know, whatever. I still get stick there, probably because I was with Rovers for so long as well. But Collie, I was on my phone, like, I was texting my dad, and I looked at the tweet, because my dad didn't know yet, so I was on my phone looking at the tweet, and I seen the Bowers fan, the show, Collie, he was laughing, saying we should send a picture back of me and him in the hospital room. We never did, obviously, it would have been funny, but it was brilliant. Like, you know, he was very, very good to me, and looked after me, stayed with me the whole time. And to be fair, like, he knows, like, Tony Mack from all the time Tony was at Bowers and stuff like that, so I have a bit of there was something to talk about. There was people, I would talk to him, ask him about Tony, he'd be talking to me, I'd be asking questions, so it wasn't awkward at all. It was brilliant, like, and like you said, that's what the league is all about, and that's why it's so good.
Yeah, I think if you lock two League of Ireland people in any room, whether they be from any club, they'd be able to have a chat, because there's just so much in common with everybody, really. Yeah. So, Sean, that happens on December 11th. Talk me through the timeline from then to, we're speaking at the end of March, start of April, and you're having to do rehab kind of yourself now in your house. I know you were in at Rovers, and Rovers have been great to you and all that sort of stuff too. And now you're in lockdown where you can't really do too much away from near your house. So just talk me through the timeline from then to now.
So after that, I had my MRI scan, was in touch with Alan Bourne, the doctor, and Tony Mack, and kind of just going, I had me scanned, the doc was kind of on to me, let me know what had happened, how we're going to do it, whatever. And then Steve McPhail was on to me straight away and said, listen, Sean, if you need anything, blah, like, we'll help you out, and we'll sort you, and whatever. And then Stephen Bradley rang me and said, what happened, was asked me about how I am and stuff like that. And then he said, listen, Sean, come in with the lads, we'll sort you out, we'll do your rehab in with us, and we'll get you back going. And when you get back to training eventually, that you can train with us and you can try to get yourself back fit, and we'll help you out as much as we can, which is brilliant. And again, I can't thank him enough. I've known him a few years, like a long time now. And it just goes to show what kind of man he is when he's doing that for someone who had left the club and he had no real connection with it anymore. I wasn't his player, and so he looked after me, which was brilliant. So then I was going in with Rovers, doing rehab with Tony Mack. There was another couple of lads who were in there with me. So it was Grant, who was in the rehab room with Sean Cavanagh. And then I'd be seeing like the lads around the dressing room, which was great for me. Like, you know, I was getting out of the house every morning and stuff like that. So it was brilliant, like, you know, for my head to get out of the house and go and do stuff in the morning. So that was great. I had to wait a while to get the operation. So the operation was only a month ago, the 19th of February, I think it was. So I was waiting a while, so I was just building up kind of strength in my legs beforehand with Tony, who again has been absolutely fantastic. I couldn't trust him anymore really with the knee. I know he's been he's done a couple of lads I know rehab with the knee, same injury, like Luke Bourne, done the exact same injury. So he's been there, done everything, and so he knows exactly what to do. So I was in there building strength up with Tony, and finally got a day. Well, not finally, but it was a bit pushed back, I think, today for the operation. I just think I couldn't get in. And I got a day, and then me and Tony were walking towards that, kind of getting as much in as possible. I was actually jogging before I went in for my operation. So it was funny, like, it was nearly as if I was rehabbing the whole injury and not getting a surgery, but eventually got the surgery done, and Morris Nelligan in the Beacon operated on me. So that all went great. I seen him a couple of weeks after, and he had said it was pretty. He said that he was showing me pictures of the operation and my knee, the inside of my knee was mad. So he said it went straightforward enough. He was happy, and everything was going to plan. So now, from then, I've just been trying to get back, seeing Tony in his house, and getting my range and my knee back, and then slowly starting to put a bit of kind of light strength work into it, and see how it goes. But it's been brilliant, like, to be fair, so far with Tony, and that he's been top class. So I've gone well so far, but now I have to, obviously with the whole lockdown thing, it's been harder. But I've been in touch with Tony through, like, similar, like, calls like this, like Skype. I've been showing him, he's been showing me exercise to do and progress on. I've been doing them in my house, and I've been showing him my knee and through my phone, so picture of my knee. So no, it's been okay, like, to be fair. I don't actually have a lot to do that I can't do inside my house, so it's been all right so far.
Yeah, it's amazing now with phones and FaceTime and Skype and WhatsApp audio and Zoom and all these things that you can actually rehab an injury with the help of your physio when you're not with the physio. And we're going to have a look at some videos as well of you actually doing some rehab. So talk me through that process of what you've been doing at home, and also the help that the physio has been giving you literally via your phone.
Yeah, it's been funny. Like, I think Tony only done a course there recently on how to maximize the internet and phones and laptops and stuff like that. So I think I was a guinea pig where I was on the Zoom, I think it was, and he was going through all his desktop of the rehab work to do, and then he emailed it on to me. Then I had all of that. And then through the whole call, he was showing me all the exercise and explaining how to do that, how to do this. And to be fair, he explained it brilliantly, and I've been able to do all of it in my own home, which is like fantastic, really. I have a couple of weights, but apart from that, it's all Tony has explained everything so that you can work it in your house, really. So it's been good, like, so far. I've been doing that a couple of weeks now, and just constantly checking in with Tony, asking him, is this okay? And then checking in with teammates I've played with before, like Luke, who's done the same injury, and just constantly back and forth, like the likes of Joey O'Brien and Dave McAllister, Ronan Finn, people who have played for years, who are much older than me and more experienced, and just constantly, Davey's had a bad knee injury, Joey's had a bad knee injury, Luke the same. So just asking, should my knee be doing this? Is this okay? What way should I do whatever? So I've just been getting a lot of tips on that off various different people. So it's been brilliant.
And Sean, from a mental point of view as well, everybody is trying to motivate themselves to do the extra bit of exercise and to eat well and stuff. The fact that, you know, you can't train with a team or play a football match or even go for a cycle in the gym on a treadmill or you know, do a personal training class. For you, given how crucial this time is, kind of 6 weeks post-operation and the shape you're trying to get into so that you can return to, you know, running and training and eventually back to the League of Ireland, given that we're all locked in at the moment, how has that been? And have you been using any, you know, special techniques or whatever to mentally prepare yourself for having to do all of this, yes, with people on Skype and stuff, but on your own?
To be fair, like, I was doing stuff on my own at home before the whole country went into lockdown, so I was kind of in the swing of it a little bit. Only small things, like, it was more with my range of movement, but it's been okay. Like, I've got a couple of books. I've been given books by, like, Joey gave me a book, Luke gave me a book, Stephen Bradley gave me a book to read. So I've been kind of trying to keep busy with that side of it. And like I said, I was in my house, like, after my operation. I couldn't really go out, so I was kind of in my bed for, like, maybe a day after the operation, and then I was kind of couldn't drive, I couldn't do anything, so I was kind of in my house anyway. So to be honest, I've been like on lockdown for the last 6 weeks, like you said, so it's been easier for me. My girlfriend is every day she's busy like in work, college, so now she's freaking out, like, doesn't know what to do, but I've been used to it now for a few weeks, so it's just kind of, I think a motivation is a hard one with getting up and doing something because there's nothing to do. So I just think I have to, like, set routines up. I have a schedule that I have to do on certain days, and then on the days off, I've kind of tried to get out and do something. So, like, clean my room or clean the car, something like that, something small, just to keep busy. But most of the time, I've just been on the PlayStation, really.
Sean, talk to me about the League of Ireland family and the support that that's been. And again, load of stuff on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm sure on your own Snapchat and stuff. And you mentioned a couple of you know, ex-teammates and ex-managers and stuff and physios that have helped you. But in general, the support that you've got, and, you know, the reason why I'm chatting to you is because I saw one of your videos on Twitter or Instagram of you doing your exercise, and I wanted to highlight your story. And I'm sure lots of people, whether they be fans or supporters or just mates or players from other clubs, have maybe dropped you a DM or dropped you a tweet or a voice note just to say, you know, keep it up and we're thinking of you.
Yeah, I know. To be fair, as soon as I got back on my phone, really, after my injury, it was like people are all over it. Wondering what happened. This is after the match, like, wonder what had happened and stuff like that. And then I got the news, I put it up on Twitter, just floods of people texting me, really. People who wouldn't really wouldn't really be friends with or anything, like, wouldn't be my close friends, but just people going out of their way to be nice, which was, like, fantastic for me. I was sitting in, like, I was sitting in agony and, like, gutted, like, with what had happened. But just to see, like, there's nice people out there, you know, and there's people who would look after you, especially in this league. Like, I had players off different clubs who I've never played with, met a couple of times, but nothing like too not pally around, really, where text me up and say, listen, sorry to hear, hopefully it's not too bad, get better soon, whatever. Just something small, but like it meant a lot, you know. And then I had I think a couple of weeks after I'd done mine, Mark Timlin off Finn Harps, who I played with last year, he had a similar injury, probably a little bit worse, but I've been in touch with Mark. We've been texting each other just about the operations, how it went and stuff like that. So it's been great. Like, and then obviously I've had old teammates who have been on top of me like from day one, really. So it's been great. Like, really has. I've had managers on to me from different clubs, and I went to the awards night, the Soccer Writers, was it? Or you were there, Sam, I remember.
Yeah, every awards night, there was Soccer Writers, there was PFAI, there was the Irish Independent one, there was the Philips Sports Manager or Signify Sports Manager, there was lots of them. You were probably, I think it was the PFAI or
something.
Soccer Writers, I think.
Yeah.
God knows. And, Sean, at Christmas time, all the football events merge into one.
Yeah, I think it was a Soccer Writers. Johnny Warren, Dan McDonald asked me to go. And I just said, yeah, fuck it. I'll get out of the house and see what it's like. I had Jack Bourne was up for an award, so I was on the table with Jack, and I was like, whatever, it was grand. But I had managers and players there from different clubs come up to me and say, listen, if you ever need it, give me a text. And I know, like, it might not mean anything, but it means a lot to me. Like, it just goes to show that there's people there around you who are willing to look after you and stuff. And it's been great. And I suppose the most support I've got has been off the PFAI. They've been brilliant, so I just can't thank them enough.
Now, Sean Boyd, I said you could say the S word. The F word now is testing me. You didn't even know you said it.
That's going to kill me as well.
Ah, don't worry about it. You see, when you're on the radio, your ears are tuned to all these words that aren't allowed. But when you're on a podcast, it's a bit different. Sean, lastly, have you allowed yourself to picture playing a League of Ireland game again in the future time? I'm sure you have. And what do you expect that to feel like? And I'm sure, you know, the quality player you are, when you do go back, there'll be lots of managers knocking your door down to sign you up.
Yeah, to be honest, Jamie, I've been dreaming about playing football every night, like, since I've gone to sleep. Like, not every night, but most nights I'm dreaming of football in some capacity. I don't know what it means. I don't know what... I'm just thinking about football all the time. Obviously, it's got something to do with that. But every night when I'm going to sleep, I'm dreaming about playing football and kicking a ball. Obviously, it's a goal now to go back and get into the league and prove people that I'm just as good, if not better, than I was before. So that's something to motivate me, and obviously to get back as best as possible and see how we get on. But yeah, I've been dreaming about football all the time. Like, you know, it's funny. I don't know why, but it's just been in my dreams. But I don't know how I feel. I can't really picture now myself. I can't imagine walking out playing for the club, because I'm without a club now, so it's hard to describe where I'd be or who I'd be playing with or stuff like that. But or the feeling I feel, I don't know how I feel. Obviously, I can imagine it being like very satisfied, but I don't know. I remember Luke came back from his. I played in the game. He played in, he was buzzing after. He was like absolute delight. So hopefully something similar to that, and then get on early.
Yeah, well, anybody who's listening to this, we're on Skype, myself and Sean, on video Skype, and the smile on his face when he's talking about dreaming about playing football is brilliant, and I can't wait to see you back, Sean. So thanks a million for your time. Best of luck with the rest of your rehab, and we'll speak to you soon. Cheers for having a chat.
Cheers, Jamie. Thanks for having me on. Thank you.
So that is it for the third episode of League of Ireland Lives with myself, Jamie Moore. Thank you very much for listening, and to my guest, Sean Boyd, who you just heard, and Jamie McGrath. And I really appreciate the lads coming on. You can follow me on Twitter at Jamie Moore Sport, and also on Instagram at Jamie_Moore1. And again, the reason I'm doing this podcast is because I'm currently out of work myself. No football coaching work with St. Pat's Under-19s, and our TU Dublin Blanchardstown season had just finished, and also no radio work as well with 98FM and Off the Ball due to the coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak. So hope you enjoyed the podcast. Give it a retweet and a share if you can. Spread it to your mates, and we'll chat to you next week, folks. Thanks a million. Bye-bye.